Thank you for your son, Jesus. I am so very, very thankful for the Lord and for his darling son, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us. Do pray that he will certainly bless us this morning with what we need. Appreciate the sweet prayer and song service and all that we've enjoyed already together. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. We begin reading this morning about the 15th verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 15. We'll read down through the end of chapter 14, all the way down to verse 31. John's Gospel. It says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye seeth me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is to come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Wonderful language, written by inspiration of God, given unto John, and by God's protective hand preserved for us here today at Happy Creek Church. And I believe it to be his word. I have had some wonderful thoughts on these passages this morning. I pray the Lord will bless me to deliver the things that you stand in need of. We certainly look to him for that this morning. I was thinking about the love that God's people have for the Lord, and what a wonderful thing the gift of love is that the Lord's given to us, that we might be able to love him. Of all the things that we do in this world, whatever we've done, whatever we accomplish, whatever we would achieve, whatever we would do in a natural way in this world, from the time we were born until the time we die, those things really don't amount to very much at all when you put them in the light of God's word and what the Bible says about it. All of our accomplishments, whether men think they're great or wonderful, or whether men Don't think they're very much. The wise man Solomon said that all of that was just vanity and emptiness and vexation of the spirit. That if that's all our life was about, was those things, and that was all we were. You know, we have sometimes been in funerals or had funerals or been around funerals, and we've read obituaries, and we've seen a lot of things that people write about people. And sometimes they have a great long obituary, and sometimes they have a little short obituary. Brother Gene Farley always said his obituary was just going to be very, very short. Gene's dead, truck for sale. And that's the way he thought about his obituary. And I know that at one time among the old Baptists, back in the earlier part of the country, in the history of our nation, even among the history of the Catoctin and Ebenezer Association, funerals were such a big deal by so many other people that our people had very little to do with them at all. As a matter of fact, there was a place I read in the Catoctin Association where it was considered an excludable offense for an old Baptist minister to even take part in a funeral. And that was because of the way so many other people felt about them. And the way, if you remember what, and think about what some people think a funeral is, the sending of a soul and a spirit somewhere, or making sure someone's getting somewhere, or something else that's going on that really a funeral is not to be about. Now, I don't want anybody to leave today thinking I think it's wrong for an old Baptist to have part in a funeral. I have had some great blessings at times in my life, and some of the most liberty I've ever felt has been in funeral service. To be able to preach the gospel. But what I do want to say about that is the preaching of the gospel is what, I mean, that is the most important thing that we can ever do at any time, is to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that's what will comfort a family at the death of a loved one, and that's what's needed to be heard at the death of a loved one. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody said, well, I've heard you say things about people at funerals, and if you come to others, you can probably hear me say some more things. And the thing is, there are a lot of things that can be said at a funeral. There are a lot of things that should be said about the person. But it's always in the light of every good thing comes from above. And that if a person believed, it was because the Lord gave him faith and enabled him to believe. If the person was a good neighbor, it's because the Lord worked in him all those things that make person a good neighbor. That if there was any good in him or in her, it came from the Lord. That every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above. That none of those works or none of those actions were his ticket into glory, but there are evidences that there was an inheritance that had been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting that dear one. That was just an evidence. We saw the earnest, the evidence, the work of the Spirit in his life, in her life, that gives us a peace and a rest about where they are today. And it wasn't what they did to get them there. It's what the Lord did for them that gets them there, and what the Lord did for them that allowed them to be so special to us. I've lost a lot of dear loved ones in this world. They were very special to me, very precious to me. But I don't want to get on that, because if I think about that too much, I'll just cry in front of you this morning. You go like, oh, poor Gary is all sad. And I am sad in the sense that they're not filling the pews today. I miss them. I truly do. But I'm not sorrowing today as those who have no hope, because I have trust and dependence in the Lord and what He did for them. And what he did, even in our relationship with them in this world, how that they were special to us because they had a love that came from him that we shared together and shared with one another. We were of like precious faith and like precious mind. They had a love for God and a love for the Lord. And what I meant to say about all of that is one of the most important things that could ever be said about anyone is that they loved the Lord. That brother, that sister, loved the Lord. They loved him. And of all the things you could write down, you know, whatever high thing they might achieve in this world, none is more important None is more important to be said or pointed at and looked at than that person loved the Lord. And just like anything else that a person is able to do, if it's right and it's good, and loving the Lord is certainly both of those things. The reason that he loved the Lord, the scripture tells us that we love the Lord because he first loved us. And that love, our love for him began in time, somewhere in our life when the Lord worked in our hearts. We who did not love him by nature and would never have loved him by nature begin to love him because God works in us the ability to love him and the gift of love to love him with. But his love for us is an eternity, an eternal, everlasting love, so broad we couldn't lay it out, so deep, so wide, so rich, so wonderful. It's like a river of his grace and his love that pours down out of heaven into this world that has made even those dear ones we talked about this morning special to us. All of that is because of the love of God for his people. And in turn, God's people love him. And it's so wonderful that there is anyone today who's loving the Lord. I believe you're here this morning because you love the Lord. I believe you love him. Oh, I know you feel like I don't love him as much as I want to. And we sing that. I didn't mean to get in a bunch of hymns, but it's okay. I want to love him more is a hymn we sing, and we do. I want to love him more. Don't you want to love him more this morning? I want to love him more. And one of the reasons we come to church is that we can learn to love him more, and that we can learn what his love is, and we can learn about his love for us. And as we see more about his love for us, we'll grow in our love for him. As the more you see of how much he's forgiven you, how much he's done for you, what you were before his work of grace, and what you are now because of grace, what you were by nature and what you are by grace, you can't help but love him when you think about how good and wonderful and merciful and gracious the Lord has been to me. How great he is and how wonderful his love. Oh, what love that he would send his only begotten son into this world. And his son came because he loved us and died for us on the tree of the cross. And one day, his love, by his love and because of his love, he'll come and take us out of this old troubled world. And forever we'll be with him in glory, where we'll really begin to see what his love is all about. I mean, we're already seeing to some degree what his love is about. But oh, what it'll be then when we're able to love him like he's loved us, and we'll know as we're known. It gets so good down here, I can't hardly stand it. I don't know what it's going to be like over there. It's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. Because of that, we ought to the very best of our ability today love him with all that we can and learn to love him more by studying his word, by rubbing elbows with the dear old saints, by being close to those that love him, by loving them that love him and loving one another. And as much as we can do it to one of our brethren, we can show one of our brethren some good thing. Anywhere we can do anything. Listen, the Lord doesn't need a thing from me today. He's got all the money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need my time. He doesn't need my effort. He's not hungry. If he was hungry, the Bible says in the Psalms, he wouldn't ask me. He would, you know, he is the one who doesn't need me in that sense. But all his little children here in this world, we've been called to not only love them, but to help them and live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord by showing our love to God as we love one another and operating in that love. And that takes some learning. That takes some learning. We talked about the whole armor of God and putting on that whole armor. We talked a whole lot about it. A little sister went out the door last Sunday. She said, "Now I want to go learn about how to put it on. I've learned what it is. Now I want to learn about how to put it on." And that's important that we have not only know about the armor, but that we put it on. And there's not only knowing what it is, there's a lot knowing about how to put it on. And one of the things we do is that we know about his love, but let's put on his love. Let's put on Jesus Christ. And to put on Christ is to put on his love. That is to operate in love. That is to think in love. That is to walk in love. To live in love. In the sense of not just some statement that we just love, but love that brings about action. And he tells us in this particular chapter exactly what that is. He says, if you love me. Now that's a great question. Do you love him? Well, if you love him, it's because he first loved you. If you don't love him, I'll never make you love him. I can't make you love him. I can say every man ought to love him, have every reason to love him, but men won't know that, won't hear that, won't understand that, and cannot hear it, know it, and understand it until God works in them and gives them a love to be able to love him with. They cannot love the Lord. That's why you never beat God to the punch. If you're ever reading the scripture or hearing any man preach, and it sounds like God is reacting in some way because men did this or that or something else, you got things mixed up, because our God doesn't, he's an acting God. He's the cause. He is not in that cause and effect. He's not the effect, he's the cause. If you love God, it's because he loved you. If you live for him, it's because he's worked in you the ability to do that. Now, God is, what a great God we have. Getting bigger here. He says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Jesus said, keep my commandments. That's how you show you love him, if you love him. Now, if you love him, how did you? This isn't to get him responding to you and loving you, and we'll make sure we understand that later. It's a love that he's given us, and we love him. You say, well, how do I love him? Do I just say I love him? Do I just say, Lord, I love you? And then go live any old way, act any old way, talk any old way, and walk in this world any old way? No. His love will constrain you. His love will cause you to act different. His love will cause you to walk different. Now, you and I can all walk outside of his love, even though he loves us. We're growing in that love, and we should grow in that love. But like putting on the whole armor of God, it's that love you have to put it on. You need to put it on and wear it in your life. You wear it. Don't let the old flesh rise up in you, because if you does, you won't be operating in the love of God. We're to love the Lord. And that, how do we love the Lord? We love him by keeping his commandments. That gets pretty simple. That means do what Jesus tells you to do, listen to what he says, and then do it. That's just trust and obey. That's pretty simple, isn't it? A lot of people want to say, I just want, you know, they want life, seemingly we want life by nature complicated, you know. It's not complicated. It's very simple. What Jesus leads us to do, we're to follow. Now that doesn't mean it isn't. In depth, it doesn't mean it isn't rich. It doesn't mean it isn't the understanding and the searching of this is beyond finding out. In this old world, it's a growing thing. You'll learn more and more and more about how to love him better and better every day. You, as you grow in this, it's not something wonderful and deep, but it's simple. It's like where he leads me, I will follow. When he tells me to talk, I'll talk. When he tells me to stop, I'll stop. What he would have me to say, I will do it. And God will lead us and direct us in this world. Have you found that to be the case? When you look to him, you ask and he'll answer. You knock and he'll open. You look to him and you ask brethren to pray for you. When they pray, there's an effect in prayer. There's a result in prayer. Not all the way we want it, because what we want sometimes isn't best for us. But when you're walking in his love, you're content with the state that you're in. Just to know that he loves me. Boy, just look at your life and think about how he's loved you. That ought to overwhelm you. Your life's full of it. Full of evidences of his love. All of his blessings. He's daily loaded me with benefits. He's blessed me every day. His love has been with me and down and shown unto me. And oh, how I ought to love him. And if I love him, he says I am to keep his commandments. And I believe he's talking about things that give glory and honor and praise to him. In the church, there are things that he's given to us as a church that we're to walk in because we love him. We ought to walk in the waters of baptism. We are Baptists. We do believe you ought to be baptized. And the baptism that we walk in is a picture of his death and his burial and his resurrection. And if we love him, we ought to walk in those things to show that we love him. If we're getting immersed for any other reason, for any other cause, if we think that's our ticket into glory? Well, it's certainly not, because we know it's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience towards God. It is that which He's called us to do. And someone said, why ought I do that? You ought to do it because you love Him. And if you love Him, you ought to do it. And when you do that, you'll find a great peace in it that you'll never find outside of it. You'll feel the manifestation of His love as you walk in obedience to that leadership in your life of the Lord. In the service, in the church, we have ordinances given to the church. One of them is baptism, the other is communion. Communion is where we remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by taking the bread, the unleavened bread, and taking the wine, which is a picture of the blood of our Lord. The bread being unleavened pictures the purity and the fact that He was without spot or blemish, no sin about Him. And the wine picturing the purity of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we do it why? We do it in remembrance of Him. Some would feel, well, I'm just not worthy either for either one of those things. Let's remember this. If we had to be worthy, there'd be none of us that would be fit for it. Because all of us have what? The Bible says this. We all have sinned. That means me. That means you. And we've all come what? Short of the glory of God. And the only thing that will ever fit us for communion with God, the only thing that would ever fit us for baptism, the only thing that would ever fit us for communion, the only thing that allows us to pray and have our prayers enter into heaven itself, the only thing that it can clean us up is that another hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And listen, all of the blood in the Old Testament, and it flowed in the Old Testament. Listen, you read that Old Testament accounts. As you go back under the Old Law Covenant and you read about all of the blood sacrifices, the worship service under the Old Law Covenant was a bloody thing to behold. The blood that flowed there, all pictured that blood that flowed at Calvary's Hill, it pointed to the shed blood of the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God who died on the tree of the cross, whose blood flowed from the as a water coming out of a fountain from the hinder sea to the former sea. And it washed away our sins as far as the east is from the west and paid a price we could not pay. And the good news about all of that is that our Savior who has died and risen again will never have to die again. The price has been paid and the victory has been won. And you who are God's little children wrapped in the love of God are now fit for baptism and fit for communion with the Lord. Now, how is that? It is, and why is that? It is to shine forth His praise and His glory. I'll tell you what you see at a baptism. You see a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it all. I often tell the dear ones that are about to be baptized that we do believe in the resurrection. So don't get worried when we immerse you. We will bring you out. Some say, well, I don't get scared of that water. Listen. You do go down, but you don't stay down. Listen, if Jesus had died, there would have been no resurrection. The picture is immersion in water. Somebody said, well, it matter whether you're immersed in water. Well, the Bible says it matters. It talks about immersion. They went down into the water. He baptized him, or he immersed him, and he came up out of the water. And that was a picture. Somebody said, but do you need that to get to heaven? Listen, His blood sacrifice paid the debt for heaven. And every one of His children, no matter where they are or who they are, will be with Him in glory because He paid that sin debt for all of them. He knew them in covenant before the foundation of the world, and there will not be one of them separated from Him. He will not lose them. They're in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, it's a happy time when one says, I love Him. And because I love Him, I want to live for Him. And because I want to live for Him, I want to walk in the newness of life that He's given me. And I want that pictured as He's taught me. Repent, as He says in the Acts of the Apostles. And that, though it's the teachings written in the Acts, it's just as good as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because it's part of His Scripture. You see, when you talk about the commands of Jesus, you're talking about the Bible, not just what's in. Some people say, I just wanted what's in red. Listen, there's no difference between what's in red and what's in black. It's all His words. It's the teachings. How do we know that? Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of Me. And He was talking about the Old Testament in those passages. And then the Apostle Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's all part of His commandments. That means I need to take this book, feed on it, search it, study it, read on it, hear preaching, search it out, and then put it in place. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. And as we do those things, we do it why? So we're something? So we get to be something? I'm telling you, the day you and I think we're something, we're nothing. I don't care who we are or what we are or what we think we are. The day I get to thinking I'm something, and usually that means I look at other people and think I'm more than they are. Listen, the Apostle Paul felt to be what? The least among the brethren, and not even worthy to be called an apostle. And Paul was strong. Don't think Paul would come in here and tell us Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, there was, you know, he said, when I come, it's not going to be, you don't want me to come. He said, almost like in a couple places, because as an apostle, he had the authority of the apostle. And I'll tell you, you wanted to heed what the apostles said, because they wrote the Scripture by the inspiration of God. The day we should, and we're to declare nothing but what they taught, and they declare nothing but what Jesus taught, and Jesus declared nothing but what His Father gave Him, and He was one with the Father. Oh, I know it reads here that He was a little, the Father is greater than I. I want to say this before we get very far with that. The only reason the Father was greater than He was in that sense of that context, He wasn't greater in the sense that Jesus wasn't God. He was one with the Father in that He was God. But we know that He took on Himself the form of a servant, didn't He? And He was made a little lower than the angels, didn't He? You know why? Because Jesus had to become one of us, that He might die in our room instead and pay the sin debt. And that's the only way He was ever less than the Father. And as our mediator, He stands between us and the Lord. Aren't you glad we've got one who loved us, a great high priest, who when you pray, you don't have to get your prayers to heaven. Sometimes I'm so ashamed of the way I think and do, I'm almost afraid to pray. And then I remember, if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of my prayers would ever be heard. And if it wasn't for the love of God, I'd never be. I'm going to always be a sinner. If anything, just a sinner saved by grace. And the day I think I've got to get it all straight for God to hear me, I'll never be heard. And I'll be wrapped up. And then if I get so foolish to think now I've got it, I've really messed up. Because I've lost the most important ingredient, and that's that humble and contrite spirit. You know who the Lord has fellowship with here in this world? Those who are of a humble and contrite spirit. And you come to church that way, and you'll find a wonderful place to be. You come high-minded, I hope the preacher knocks that out of you before you get out of here. If he preaches the gospel, it'll take your high-mindedness right out of you. He'll tell you how good, no good you are, and you're no good because your mom and daddy are no good, and they're no good because they're mom and daddy, and it goes all the way back. He'll knock your family tree right down and tell you that if your hope and trust isn't in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And listen, that's what's made our family special to us. Which family do you have that's so special to you? It's those who love the Lord and operate in that love. And they would have never loved Him if He had not first loved them, they would have never loved Him. And isn't it those humble and contrite spirits? Isn't it that the ones that have been touched and tended by the hand of God that are so special to us? That spoke with such power because they shared with us the Word of God. Okay. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. Here is the mediator. Here we see not only God the Father. I love the Trinity. You find it all over the Scriptures. Not just in one place in the Bible. You find it throughout the Bible. Here it's very clearly laid out for us. We have God the Father. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking as the Son of Man. He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, separate from Himself, but yet one with Him, and that is the Holy Spirit, and that He may abide with you forever. Now this is what's wonderful. He's telling the disciples, I'm about to leave you. As I walk with you here in this world, I'm about to go to the cross and I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to leave you, but I'm coming again. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And He walked with them for 40 days, and then He ascended back into glory, and He seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us today. But He didn't leave us comfortless, did He? Because He sent Himself, so to speak. He sent the Holy, who was the Holy Comforter, He sent that He may abide with you forever. And that is the Spirit of God that's taken up His heart, that's in your heart right now. Isn't it wonderful to know that you are really the temple of the Lord, that He's taken up your abode in your heart? If you're a little child of God, and you say, how could I be that? How do I know that? Well, if you love Him, it's evidence that He is in your heart, giving you the ability to love Him. Because if you love Him, it's He who first loved you. And you wouldn't want to have anything to do with these things if it were not for the Spirit of God. No man can call Jesus Lord. But how? By the Spirit. Have you called Jesus Lord? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Oh, I'm thankful He's Lord, aren't you? Aren't you glad and thankful He's Lord? And the only reason you are is because by the Spirit. And how? Where is the Spirit? It's in your heart. He's taken up His abode in your heart. If you're born again, you're born from above. The Spirit of God came in your heart. You've been made a new creature. You've been made a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. And then when we operate in that Spirit, we keep His commandments. And we walk with Him. We have fellowship with Him. He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you. And how long is the Spirit of God going to be with you? Forever. He's with you every day. He's with you today. He'll be with you tomorrow. He'll be with you until you're about to leave this old world. At the moment of death, He'll be with you. You will to close your eyes in death here is to open your eyes and see the Lord Jesus Christ, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And those who die in the Lord, He's going to have their body as well. They die in the Lord, which means He's going to come back for them. They didn't just die. They died, but they're going to live again. Because He died, we live. Oh my. Whew. Just a lot here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now get this, the world can't receive this. You can talk to them. You can tell them about it. You can try to show it to them. You can say how much you love it. You start talking about your church, and you think, you know, when I've had good sweet fellowship in the church, and I want to share that with someone. I think so, there are some people that I know, and I invite to come. And I said, some say I feel like everybody ought to love it. You know, I just feel like everybody ought to love it. I feel like everybody ought to love the gospel. I feel like everybody ought to love the singing. I think everybody ought to love the fellowship. And there are some people who just want to get away from it just from the moment they get in it. But then there are others who do love it. And what's the difference? What is it? What is it that's different? Well, it's not because we're so smart and somebody else isn't. It's by the grace of God, if you've been able to see it, it's because of the Spirit of God that allows you to see it. The world cannot see it until God opens their eyes and their ears and their hearts. And when God does that, now you can show it to them. But until the Lord does that, you can't. And so what do? We just shine the light. We just sing. We just do what the Lord would have us to do. And as a minister, we just sow the seed. It's God who has to give the increase. We just preach. He said to preach the word and to be instant, in season and out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But the ultimate, and you want as a minister for everybody to receive it, but you find not everybody likes it. Not everybody wants it. Matter of fact, some hate it. There are a lot of God's children suffering great persecution around the world today because there are those that despise the name of Jesus Christ and do not love Him. And the world as a whole, the world is we are in an untoward generation. Listen, if God hadn't touched the heart, if God doesn't move on the inside, there's nothing you can do from the outside. And that's what he teaches here. Even the Spirit of truth from the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's how you know these things. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because he lives. Listen, we have a Savior who died, but who rose again. And just as sure as he died and rose again, those who sleep in Jesus are going to come forth. There's going to be a grand reunion one day in heaven and immortal glory, when all of God's children, those who are dead in Christ, shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there'll be a glad reunion, body, soul, and spirit, of every one of God's little children forever. Today, though there are many who are absent from the body, they are present with the Lord. And they're having a great fellowship, awaiting that final time when the Lord will come again. And he is coming. What good news that is. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now we do know that already in part today, don't we? I believe that. I believe that Jesus is one with the Father. I believe that the Spirit is one with the Father. I believe God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, are these three are one. I believe in that. I believe that the Bible teaches that, and I embrace that. I believe also those of his children were chosen in him before the very foundation of the world. They belong to him. There's nothing that will ever separate them from him. They're his. And the love of God has been shown to them. But I'll tell you, what we know about it today is just a little glimpse. Just through a glass darkly of what we will know. Now, we can learn and we can grow. And the more, I tell you, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more peace you'll have, the more rest and joy that you'll feel here in this world. But we'll never get there all the way until we see him one sweet day, face to face. We behold our Savior. And then what a day that will be, when we can truly praise him as we should and we ought. He says, he that keepeth my commandment, he that hath my commandments, not just written down on a piece of paper, but in his heart, and keepeth them, he says, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now that doesn't mean God starts loving him because he does that. It means the fullness, you'll begin to see the manifest love of God. You see, you've been loved of God, but oh, how good it is to know that. Isn't it good to know that the Lord loves you? Isn't it good to feel him sit down with you on the bench? Isn't it good when you're in trouble to feel his arms wrap around you? Isn't it good to be able to lean, go to sleep at night, knowing you're resting in the safety and the protection of the God of heaven? And when you're in trouble, you got someone to call to and lean upon that can truly help and does help. Isn't it wonderful to know that he's there? Brethren, the more that you love him, the more you feel that in your life. And when we forget that, doesn't mean he doesn't love you, but you don't remember it. You don't feel that peace and that rest. He says, and I will manifest myself to him. That means we're able to see him. Judah said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I'm not sure exactly in my mind how he meant this, but for me, it has been like, what I feel that he's saying is, how is it that I have been able to see this and when others cannot? Have you ever felt like that? What a blessing it is that I'm able to see it. So if it hadn't been for the grace of God, none of us would have seen it. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, we wouldn't understand it or have anything to do with it. Why is it that God would have anything to do with an old sinner like me? Why is it that he would have all of the men and women of this world? Why is it that, you know, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, that the Lord would show his love to such an unworthy one like me? You feel that in your heart? He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And we'll close with this verse. And he says, and my Father will love him. In other words, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And in that, my Father will love him. Not a response, but he will manifest his love to him. and we will come unto him. Who's we? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And that word abode means a mansion. It's a heavenly place of fellowship. And sitting there and feeling the presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Wanting to sing in your heart, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Giving praise and honor and glory. Seeing Jesus high and exalted and lifted up. See him as our Redeemer, our Mediator, our Intercessor, all that he is to us. Seeing our Father as the one who loved us with an everlasting love. And the Spirit of God, the one who allows us to see and understand all those things. And then to feel him close and near to you. Brethren, that's nothing like that. It doesn't matter your circumstances. When you can feel his manifest presence, all is well. And it really doesn't matter the circumstances. When you can't feel it, nothing's good. And you can't make it good. Our peace is in him. That's why he said, peace I give you. I'll stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. We love you.
Love you, my brother. God bless you.